Hey everyone, welcome to Share Your Sparkle, and I'm your host, Dr. Darlene Berrios, and this is episode 28, Covenant. Hey everybody, after this, just two more episodes to go in season one. Just a reminder, I'm going to release the last ones next week, so Tuesday and Friday, and Friday's going to be a cliffhanger. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I have an idea of what I'm going to do, but yeah, thank you for being with me for the past 2 to 3 months, or if you're just joining, welcome. Episode 28, Covenant. Yesterday, I opened up Your Deepest Intent by Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. So she is the one that wrote Letters from the Infinite, as revealed to Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, the sacred yes that I've been reading through along the way. And yesterday morning, I mean, I got the book a couple days ago, but I just picked it up and opened up to a page, and I'm going to read the chapter from which that page is from. And I hope it helps. Along the way, I'll make some comments. But basically, I'm just going to read the chapter. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Your Deepest Intent by Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. This chapter is called We Are in a Covenant. Welcome to the other side, my dear Reverend daughter. I said these words to you when you first started to hear and recognize my voice. At that point in time, you were indeed dying to your old way. And now you have also died to your own way, as you captured in the lyric of Resurrect Me, which you co-wrote with your life partner, Valerie Joy. This is most difficult, and you are to be commended. Many people are able to die to their old ways. This is why the notion of recovery is so popular in your society. Many individuals are able to reform. They are able to shift the relationships that they have with particular forms. However, reform is not to be confused with transform. When one transforms, one moves beyond the former forms and gives birth to something new. This newness that is birthed, however, really isn't so new. It has been lying dormant, latent, within the recesses of one's being. One will not experience the transformation, however, until that point in time when one dies to one's own way. Understand what I'm saying here. People try to transform themselves. However, you cannot transform yourself. If you try to transform yourself, you are trying to transform according to your own way. But the point of transformation is that you move beyond your own way. The point of transformation is that you yield, that you surrender, that you allow yourself to be moved in a different direction. Some of you mistake that movement for manipulation. Some of you confuse the movement with manipulation. You feel like whatever is in my plan to move you is manipulating you. This causes great consternation among those of you who take such pride in being able to be independent and handle your own life. I feel like that resonates with me. When something truly transforms, it can no longer be recognized for what it used to be. When one sees what has been transformed, there is awe. You can hardly believe it is the same thing that you knew before. When you transform, you can no longer be recognized for who you used to be. That reminds me of the literal transfiguration of when Jesus went up to the mountain with some people. I can't remember who they were. And then he changed to light and they were like, whoa, they were like blinded by the light and they couldn't see Jesus anymore because he was light. Anyway, so that's my little comment about that. Back to the book. Understand the difference here. When you reform, you are still recognizable, but you are recognizable as someone who has changed. When you transform, it isn't the change that is so ever present in people's minds. It is the newness standing before them. There is no contrast in comparison with where you used to be. There is just simply the new you that has been birthed. The you that has been birthed is so great, grand, glorious, and magnificent that people even stop wondering how this transformation happened in your life and begin to wonder, how can they have a little bit of what you have? There is something about transformation that calls everybody else up. It is inspiring. When you look at something that is transformed, your own excuses start to fade away. All of the ideas of lack and limitation that you had in your mind, all of the reasons you have given yourself for why you personally are not able to make your transformations fall away. At that great moment, you begin to realize that it really doesn't have so much to do with all the so-called external obstacles at all. At that moment, you are deeply aware that the only obstacles are in your own mind. I feel like that's a common theme over and over and over again, right? We are the ones that get in our own way with basically everything, it seems. The only obstacles are those notions, ideas, contradictions, and paradigms that prevent you from saying yes. You don't have to worry about how to transform. You don't have to have a game plan. You don't have to have any kind of plan. You just need to show up and say yes. Yes, I'm talking to everyone, not just to Reverend Daughter Deborah here. You just need to show up and to say yes. She's not the only one who has crossed over to another side. By the way, I love that you don't need a game plan. It makes it a lot easier to just be, I think, a part of something if you don't have to control every detail, every step. I think that's liberating. Some people, it probably freaks out a lot. And I get it. But right now, to me, it seems liberating. All right. She is not the only one who has crossed over to another side. You make this journey every time you relinquish who you think you are and step into your greater yet to be. This process continues throughout your life at both individual and collective moments of high resolve. Such was the case yesterday at the Reverend Daughter's ordination ceremony when literally everyone who attended moved along in consciousness and crossed over to another side. Let the movement be for gladness. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to predetermine what your next steps are. Don't even try to decide what it is that you need to commit to. The only commitment needed is to show up every day with a yes in your heart. That's the only thing you need to commit to. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. Show up every day with a yes in your heart. By the way, I was reading it with emphasis as the book showed me to. When you do this, not if, but when you do this, all the answers will be lying right before you. This is important. I was reminding you this morning, my Reverend Daughter Deborah, not to misinterpret what I said to you last Sunday during the conference about your ministry being a church. You told someone yesterday that I had said the reason why you don't have a church, inferring a building, is because you haven't been willing to be a church. That is not what I said. I said, you will be your church when you are willing to be one. There is a great difference here. Most of you are always trying to figure out why you have not manifested the desires of your heart. You spend time looking for something to blame, even if it is yourself, which oftentimes is more convenient than anything else. You are looking for the reasons why you are not as far along in your progression as your plans had called for. The search becomes for the reason why not. Quote, seek and you shall find, end quote. You may actually find why not, but what good is that going to do you? For what reason do you want to find the quote-unquote why not? Most of you will say that it lets you know what you need to correct, but how often do you actually correct what you have determined to be the problem? Ooh, that's a good one. Most of you will say that it lets you know what you need to correct, but how often do you actually correct what you have determined to be the problem? Most often you just sit there and wallow in your knowledge of the why not. Sometimes you even take great pride in telling everybody how you finally understand the why not, as though you have found the great pearl in the why not. That's not what you should be looking for. Understand the promise. You'll have your church when you are willing to be one. Notice the difference in the paradigm. The church is there. Everything that all of you want in all of your heart's desires is there. When you look at it the other way, you don't have a church because you haven't been willing to be one. It is as though the church is not there and you are trying to figure out why it is not there. But it is there. It is there. Why isn't it? What isn't there is you. What isn't there is your yes. When you become the yes, then everything you are searching for will be right in front of you. It's already in front of you, but you just can't see it. Your yes is like optical surgery. Your yes changes what you see. You know, my reverend daughter, Deborah, how you and Valerie Joy have conversations about her eyesight. She gets rather annoyed when you imply that she can't see when she doesn't have her glasses on. She tries to explain to you that she can see. She just can't see clearly. She can see that there is some vague form ahead of her or some blurry image. That is how it is with most of you in life. There are all kinds of blurry forms, images, or seeming blobs out there in the ethers. When you cannot really see something, there is a tendency to ignore it. As with background noise that really isn't decipherable, you have a way of just tuning it out. When she puts on her glasses, then the blob turns into something recognizable. The details can be seen. A greater appreciation grows for what's around because what's around has become more apparent. Putting on the glasses did not make anything appear. It was all there already. But correcting the vision allows you to make sense of what otherwise appears to be just fog. Instead of putting on glasses to see better, most of you are trying to get rid of the fog. That's really interesting. Okay. You are ignoring what's really around you. You have gotten comfortable with the little bit that you can see. Oh, it's time. It's so time. It's time for all of you to step up and to step out. The time is nigh. This is not news. It is confirmation. You must say yes now. Now. Do you understand what now means? Now does not mean when you get back to some location. Now does not mean when you get back to some job. Now does not mean when it's convenient after this event is finished or that project is completed. After you get your house back or your children are gone. It doesn't mean any of these things. It means now, this second. I move, live, have my being in the now. You can only take action in the now. Whenever you do anything, it's now. You have it backwards. You think that some now moment will come that will be your cue to take action. I think that's kind of funny. How many of us are waiting for that time when we're like, oh, now is the time. I'm going to go back to the book. No. When you take action, the moment becomes now. You create the now. You create the now. Every time you synchronize, every time you get into alignment, every time you surrender, every time you allow yourself to move into that deep place of yes, you become one with the now. This yes is not a promise to me. I think this is where it gets good. We're coming up to what I think is a really good part. This yes is not a promise to yourself. This yes is not a promise. This yes is not a legal contract. Stop looking at yes as a contract. In a contract, there are always penalties. In a contract, there's always recourse. In a contract, there's always concern about violations and what ifs and what next. Contracts have all kinds of protective measures in them. I didn't make contracts. Contracts are human ideas that come out of your human fears and frailties. This is not to say a contract is a bad thing. It is understood that individuals may not remember all the details and may need a concrete reminder. There is concern that the individuals who will execute and implement the contract may not be the ones who originally made the contract. So you have concerns. What happens, quotes, what happens if there's a lack of follow through? What happens if you change your mind? What happens if it doesn't work? This is where I T-stormed when I read this. However, yes is not a contract. It is a covenant. I don't make contracts. I make covenants. I'm going to read that again. However, yes is not a contract. It is a covenant. I don't make contracts. I make covenants. What's the difference between a covenant and a contract? A covenant is a guarantee. In a covenant, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. In a covenant, there is the understanding that it is sacred. In a covenant, there is mutual intent and the absolute knowingness that it will be fulfilled. Quote, unquote, what if not, is not a possibility because it is a covenant. There is not even room to entertain. What if not? Please, 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 my reverend daughters, Deborah and Valerie, and all of you present, I have made a covenant with you. The covenant I have made with you individually, I have made with all individuals. But you must understand this covenant. I am with you. I am with you always. I know who you are. I believe in you. I have your best interest at heart. It is my desire that you be fulfilled. I want you strong and healthy and in your greatest and most authentic expression. I want you as pure transparencies, crystal clear, healed from all of the hurts and pains, doubts, worries, anxieties, and fears. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe in me and rely on me and lean on me more than you do the world, more than you do the facts, more than you do each other, and certainly more than you do your own selves. Why do I want you to do this? Why do I want you to trust that I am with you always and have your best interest at heart? Because it is my covenant. I love you and I will never forsake you. Wow, that's deep. Okay, sorry. I know what you have need of, and it is my good pleasure that you have it all. I don't make you pick and choose between your goods. And I certainly don't make you pick and choose between me and anything else. However, your perception that such choices must be made and your internal struggles to make them are an important part of your spiritual journey. You will grow to understand that the only thing you will ever be called upon to sacrifice is what you don't need. I'm going to read that again. You will grow to understand that the only thing you will ever be called upon to sacrifice is what you don't need. And when you align with me, you will stop wanting what you don't need. I'm talking about a covenant here, not a contract. In a covenant, there is oneness. There are parties in a contract. There is otherness in a contract. There is separation in a contract. There's a sense of competing odds and competing goods and competing wills in a contract. You try to predetermine ahead of time where everything is going to go and how it's going to be and how the individual's separate interests are going to be protected. There is no otherness in a covenant. There is just the one. There is just the one. Step into my oneness. Step into my oneness. Step into my oneness. Step into my oneness. All, as you all step into my oneness, this tendency to live in a paradigm of otherness starts to fade away. This tendency to want to think that there is conflict in anything, your time, your careers, your love life, your church commitments, your personal commitments to yourself for what you think you want to do, whatever. All of that starts to cease. You will walk around in the world understanding that I am you and you are me. And together we are infallible. Together we are unshakable. Together we are unbeatable. Because we are together, you are tapped into the inexhaustible supply and there is no thing you cannot do. Quote, what would you do if you knew that it wasn't impossible? Unquote. What would you do if you knew that it wasn't impossible? Believe in my ability to do all things more than you believe in the reasons why they can't be. Believe that in our most sacred covenant, you win. You win and everybody else wins. It is a covenant. I have a covenant with you. Are you in a covenant with me? Are we in the same relationship? I'm in it. You are too, but you need to know it. You have to choose this covenant. You have to choose to be in it. You have to choose to accept me in it. You have to choose to accept yourself in it. You have to choose to accept that we are in it together. You have much to teach other people about this, but you won't be able to teach them if you don't understand it yourself. Oh, eyes have not seen, no ears have heard the glory of what's in store for you in this universe. I have called you up and I have called you out. I have called you. You have heeded the call and you have come. Do not take these words as judgment or condemnation. I'm really proud of all of you. These words are confirmation. They are here to lift you up, to inspire you, and to remind you of the goodness that is at hand. Not merely waiting for you, but at hand. Step into this now. Step into this now, and all the blobs in the scenery of your spiritual journey will become crystal clear in your yes. Think of these things. I love you. I always have, and I always will. And I appreciate your love of me. In this time of openness and receptivity, let the enormous experience of this ordination weekend gestate in your being. Let these seeds take root. I am good all of the time. And so are you and your life. That is from Your Deepest Intent by Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. 2 more episodes left in season 1. I love this journey we're walking together. I'm looking forward to El Camino with my cousins. They don't know it yet, but we're going in 2025 in March. Okay. Accept your sparkle, surrender to it, and allow it to be so. Until then, keep shining!